now for our featured this evening. Great actor that you're seeing on your screens quite a lot now, David DeSantos. You're probably seeing him most recently in CBS's great new show, SEAL Team. He's doing a lot of other stuff as well. David, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm doing good, man. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, really good. Really good. It's 11 o'clock and we still got listeners. So we're just happy.
Are you sure? How do
well,
you
we
know?
Got callers.
We've got callers.
So if we got callers, yeah. No, it's great to have you on.
A couple of minutes before I came on, and I wanted to let you know that I posted a picture on Instagram tonight about social media.
Yeah.
I was going to post the picture of me eating hummus, but instead I was flexing out by the pool and was candidly caught laughing at a joke that never happened.
Okay.
So that's what I posted this afternoon, just to give you a
no. The eating hummus was nice, unglamorous. That's what we were looking for.
Exactly.
For good mental health on social media.
Exactly.
Unglamorous, regular life.
Exactly, because a lot of people go to you, David, and think, you know, you're living the Hollywood lifestyle. You're doing all this amazing stuff, but no, sometimes you're just eating hummus.
Yeah, right.
Hashtag
with no carbs. Though.
Eating hummus.
No carbs.
Hashtag eating hummus.
Now, great eating hummus.
Now I got to ask you, David. You come from a family with a bit of track record in Hollywood. You come from kind of a trade family, someone who's been working in Hollywood for generations, really.
Yeah, generations. My grandma, Janet Meyer was her name. She was one of the first female film editors on Gunsmoke.
I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. That lasted forever.
Forever. Longest running Western or show prior to, was it...
The Simpsons or Law and Order or...
Yeah.
One of those.
Or The Simpsons or whatever. But she was the film editor on that for 14 years. And then she was going to cut Hawaii 5-0 with Jack Lord.
Yeah.
But then she had my mom. And then so she stuck around in L.A. and she ran the film library over at CBS Radford, which actually... You know, 30 years later, or 40 years later, I would then act on SEAL Team, and their soundstage is on Gunsmoke Drive.
Oh, wow.
CBS Radford. Full circle.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Full circle.
Now I've got to ask you, with these family members that are involved in the industry, you still wanted to be in it? I mean, you would have seen a lot of Hollywood and all the...
True, but if I had gone into post-production, all the doors would have been opened.
Right.
And when they found out I wanted to be an actor, everyone just sort of dropped their head.
Oh, God.
Why?
You wanted to be an actor even knowing what an editor was going to do to your performance.
I had known.
Yeah. I mean, when she was going to cut Jack Lord, she was going to cut Jack Lord. You wouldn't know who Jack Lord was.
Now, I've got to ask you, being on SEAL Team, obviously it's a great show. You put up some good performance on that. How does it feel to be in a show that's kind of talking about things in the headlines and dealing with things as topical as the show is?
Well, and the one thing that's super exciting and humbling about the show is that it's also dealing with what happens when the soldier comes back.
Yes.
So it obviously focuses on the mission and the brotherhood, but it also deals with what happens when they come back to base and they still have to live their lives and the PTSD that exists within. One of the storylines with Neil Brown Jr.'s character is how... their job is very similar to other people's jobs and that they're still trying to support their families by having to save, you know, by having to live a life of patriotism.
Right.
But if they don't go on the mission, they wouldn't be able to make their mortgage.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. Right? That's incredible story because, I mean, it's good for, you know, I think the military families and stuff to see kind of what their stories are like on screen. And my grandfather was a World War II vet and came back and he had a hard time adjusting. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the stories from my mom, just what she went through with him. So, I mean, I think it's incredible what you're doing in this show. Mm. It means a lot to a lot of people that people can relate to those stories.
Yeah, the first two. So I showed up in the second half of the season. I did I've been recurring on. I think I came in episode 16. But the first, I think it was episode 8 or 9. They did a screening for vets and vets families over at, I believe, the DGA or at the Academy, and standing ovation. And
right.
A lot of the families came up to the actors and with tears in their eyes. And it was a very moving experience because it is one show. And I think CBS has a tendency to sort of put family first. And it is hand in hand. And the show is... it's unbelievably accessible. So you don't have to, it doesn't necessarily have to be a show. The fan is not necessarily a military fan, because it still deals with family and love and brotherhood, but also has the military side, which brings in another audience. I have a dear friend of mine named Tony Moorhead, who is a vet, and he fought as an Army Ranger in Vietnam, and it's one of his favorite shows. And I asked him if he thought that the show was doing a service to vets, and he said more than any show that he has ever seen.
Huh.
So that in and of itself made me go, okay, I'm part of something that's much bigger than me.
Huh.
And I play one of the CIA agents, so they hate me.
CIA. Now, on the bigger picture, we try to be helpful.
Sure.
And I made a suggestion to our previous guest, and I have a suggestion for your show, for a show called SEAL Team, which is about the elite Navy warriors of the United States Navy. I think it is time to include the militarized dolphins. Inspired by the Ukrainian Navy, who trained military dolphins. I mean, there's a million stories.
So you're saying there should be a seal on the SEAL team.
There should be a dolphin on the SEAL team.
a seal would be a little bit too on the nose.
Yes.
So, right? And so you have a porpoise, or you have
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Weaponizing fish.
Not dolphins.
now I want,
but the Ukrainians are way ahead of us on this.
I want to ask you, David, obviously you do a lot of great stuff on TV, you do great stuff in the movies, you love stage acting, and you're doing Shakespeare. Can you tell our audience a little bit about the Shakespeare you're doing now?
Yeah, I'm working out at the beautiful Theatricum Botanicum out in Topanga Canyon. We're doing the first ever production, it's our 45th season, we're doing the first ever production of Coriolanus, which is the tragedy of Coriolanus, which is the story about a military soldier who's sort of brought up the ranks and is forced to become, in a way, the first, if you will, president, I guess, of Rome at a time where democracy didn't quite exist. And it is the beginnings of the fall of the Republic in Rome as the people start gaining a voice. And the people of Rome decide they don't want one person speaking for them.
Right.
They try to create a way to overthrow and kill this leader. And I am the leader. We have a great musical number in the middle. There's
a great act
also towards the end, which is really to lighten things up.
No, absolutely. and have you done Shakespeare before? Is this part of what you do every couple of years? You try to go in and do a bit of Shakespeare? Or is this a bit of a reach, a new stretch for you to try to go up?
It's been sort of part of my blood for a while. I was a company member of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival up in Ashland.
Oh, fantastic.
Ashland, Oregon. And actually, Ellen Gear, who's the artistic director of Theatricum, she gave me my first job back in 23 years ago. I was a spear carrier in a production of Richard III.
There you go.
Wow.
That's a classic first role in a Shakespeare.
It truly one of the most important roles in all of Shakespeare.
Spear bearer.
The lesser known character known as the Scrivener, who comes out in Act 4, Scene 3, says 10 lines, usually read off of a scroll or a piece of parchment paper.
So you didn't even have to memorize them. You've got the scroll.
I didn't.
Exactly.
Wow. I didn't memorize it.
It's right there on the scroll whenever. Well, that's why you've got this.
Get that way if the guy doesn't show up. Just anybody can play it.
Now, I got to ask you, David.
Well, no, it's method. Isn't it method?
You're reading it right out of the scroll
because it's method.
Exactly. It's true method. Exactly. You don't even read it first. You don't know what you're going to say.
Exactly.
So I've got to ask you, David, about the details of the play for our audience. How do they get tickets, when, where, what, and how, and why, and all of that?
They can go to the www.theatricum.com. TheatricumCom, Theatricum.com. And we're also opening a production of The Crucible this weekend.
Oh,
Summer
excellent.
Night Dream also opened last week. Mm-hmm. And a little bit later in the season, a play called The Chalk Garden and Haiti will be opening. But right now, we're running in rep Coriolanus, Midsummer, and then, like I said, The Crucible will be opening up this weekend as well.
Very cool. Very cool. I want to thank you so much, David DeSantis. You know and love him on CBS's SEAL team. Go out and see him do Shakespeare here in Southern California. Thank you so much, David, for being part of
Thanks,
the
guys.
Bigger Picture.